The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day in Sonoma County, and I am so excited. We're going to be doing something very different today. I have a special guest with me this morning. Joining me in the studio will be Kim Tripsmith, who hosts the weekly Feisty Females radio show at COWS at 107.3 FM in Sebastopol, and manages a wonderful troupe called Diva Galactica and producer of all kinds of events, and she's also the CEO of Amazon Productions, and I know her as Mamazon, and we have been friends for quite a while, been talking about coming on the show, and she's going to be performing two songs live, so this is something that we have not done before on Women's Spaces, and I'm really, really excited about it. Well, as many of you know, the homeless situation in the United States is becoming a major problem. Cities and counties across the country and Sonoma County and the city of Santa Rosa is no exception. To date, we have over 2,000 individuals who are homeless. The last several months, there have been a series of evictions off the sites, and folks are attempting to settle down. You know, I cannot imagine what it's like to be homeless. You know, there's an old saying, there but poor fortune go you and I. Well, it's just, it's true. I mean, I know for myself, I've been close a few times and I've just been lucky. You know, I hate to use the word blessed, because if I'm blessed and somebody else is cursed, I just consider myself lucky that I did not end up in that situation, but I became very close several times. Well, last Tuesday, it blew up, and six people were arrested. They were activists who, I think, care a lot about the homeless and their plight, and were expressing their frustration, which, by the way, is their First Amendment right. You know, I get so frustrated. You know, everybody's making such a big deal about the Second Amendment, which is about guns and killing, but they forget about the First Amendment, which is our right to free speech, our right to assemble. You know, our forefathers really had some good ideas in mind, you know, and all of a sudden you see when someone goes out and protests, you know, all of a sudden you see these police coming out in full regalia. I mean, it's really ridiculous when people are frustrated. They're trying to get something done. And when I talked to some of the folks that were arrested, one of the things that they were protesting for was a real simple thing. They just wanted the police to stop harassing these people in their encampments and arresting them, and let them be where they are until they find some adequate shelter. But you know how things go. And you know, I'm not saying, I want to read the statement that I wrote on the, that I put on Facebook. Here we go. Six people were arrested at the Santa Rosa City Council on Tuesday, May 2nd. And it was so sad to me. So sad when you think, as humans, we cannot find a way to communicate that those in power utilize force to quiet people who are exercising their First Amendment rights in lieu of finding a way to work together. I know it can be rough and people get loud, but that's part of it. And we all need to develop skills. You know, I have a new motto, de-escalate in lieu of incarcerate. Think about that. De-escalate in lieu of incarcerate. You know, I'm not saying one side is right or wrong. You know, I've sat on committees. I sat on the Human Rights Commission, and I know what it feels like when all of a sudden people come bombarding in and they're upset about some issue, and people get up in front of the mic and they start yelling, and you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, wait a minute, I hope they don't have a gun on them, or I hope nothing violent is going to erupt here. So I'm not saying that the city council is right. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying the protesters were right. I'm not saying they were wrong, but it did happen. And the most shocking thing about it, The most shocking thing about it was when I looked at the police arresting these people, they had four police on one person, you know, throwing them on the ground. And it was very upsetting to me. And why was it upsetting? Because I know most of these people, and I know that they're there with good intention, but I also know folks on the city council, and I know they're there with good intention. So what I've arranged to do is next week I'm going to have Councilwoman Julie Combs is going to be on, and she's going to talk about the incident, and we're going to get her perspective. I'm also going to have Adrian Lobby from Home Action. We'll get her perspective. And then I'm going to have June Berzer. She's going to do a short interview. She was one of the people that was arrested. She is also a member of the Green Party, and we will get her perspective. So, you know, one of the things, there's a big thing now, oh, fake news. Well, I don't want to put fake news on the air, so I'd rather get some of the sources and let them discuss what happened, and you, the listener, can make up your mind as to what you think should happen. But the most important situation is to recognize that we have a problem in our community. We have over 2,000 homeless people. We have about 1,000 on the street, and we only have maybe 200 beds. I mean, it's really a problem. And we all have to have some compassion around it. Because like I said at the beginning of the statement, there but poor fortune go you or I. You know, and what's so interesting, too, is that we forget how vulnerable we all are. You know, we all live on a planet called Earth, our Mother Earth, and we need to share space together. You know, it's really sad. You have this hierarchical thing, like I'm better than you because maybe I have more money, because maybe I have a home. No, we're all human beings, and we all have a right to shelter. You know, it's very important. And there's another important component around the homeless. And I wish, you know, I look at these marijuana issues, and they debate it down to the ground. Why aren't they debating the homeless? Why aren't they debating our war? Why are we engaged in so many wars that's wasting so much money? If we had that money, those billions actually moving into trillions, everybody in the whole planet could have a home, for God's sakes. But we have to start thinking about that. And we have to recognize that it's important that each one of us have equal opportunity. And to be on the streets with some of the issues that people are dealing with, you know, it's really heartbreaking to me. So that's a lot to think about. It really is. But we have to think about these things. And another thing that's happening is we're coming up with election on June 5th. We have a very important election. We are going to be voting for a brand new sheriff here in Sonoma County. And I'm telling you, during the June elections, we're lucky if we get 30% turnout. You know, in a democracy, you should have 100% turnout. This is a very important election, so please pay attention. Most folks have gotten their absentee ballots. They'll be getting them in the mail sometime this week. I talked to the voter registrator, and they encourage people, fill out your ballot and mail it in. Mail it in before the election date of June 5th, because the closer that it's to the election, the harder it is to get those votes counted. So it's very important. And, you know, I cannot believe I work the polls. And it's so interesting to me how many people come in with these ballots and they throw them in the ballot box. When they call, they have to do is put a stamp on it and mail it, or even just walk it down to the voter registration's office. So it's very important. So remember, June 5th, we're having an election. And if you go on www.womenspaces.com and you hit the button political, you can hear the interview that I was so honored to do with the three sheriff candidates. And it was really a very, very interesting interview, and it helps people make up their minds. You know, it's one thing when you vote from a flyer, and it's another thing when you vote for somebody that you know. Very important. Well, I got another announcement. You know, a Wednesday night market is open, and I'm so excited. They're celebrating 30 years, and I'm going to have the honor of interviewing Leslie Graves next week from the market, and she's going to talk about the history. We're going to have some of the first-timers that were and some of the people that helped organize it at the very beginning. It's hard to believe that 30 years have passed. And I just want to do a shout-out to Leslie Graves. I mean, her heart is really in the right place, and she does a lot of good things with that market. So everybody should go downtown. For you folks listening in Marin and in other counties that the station has picked up, I think it's very important you come on down to Santa Rosa and see what we do with the Wednesday night market. And happy anniversary, folks. 30 years of good service for our community. Well, I have a special announcement here, and this is something that's happening on today's the 7th. So this is Wednesday, May 9th at the Santa Rosa Junior College at the Bertoloni Student Center. They're going to be having a seminar on human trafficking and awareness night. So to make people aware of what is happening in the community, that's going to be at 5 o'clock p.m. They're going to have resources and food. At 5:30, they're going to be viewing the long night. And then at 6:30, they're going to have some panels and some discussions of survivors. I mean, I definitely will be there. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, whoever, when I was growing up, I never heard of human trafficking. And here we are. It's a real issue in our country and across the globe. So I think it's very important that folks get become aware. So that's going to be this Wednesday, May 9th, at the Santa Rosa Junior College, at the Bertoloni Student Center. And it starts at 5 o'clock and it'll end about at 8 o'clock in the evening. And the panel includes very interesting Verity, which is our Rape Crisis Center, Santa Rosa Police Department, Sonoma County Human Trafficking Task Force. When I was on the Human Rights Commission, it was very, very interesting to hear reports about this particular aspect of what's happening in our community. Well, I really encourage people to show up. It's very important, especially to understand it. And this weekend, we had a wonderful weekend, Ken and I. You know, we went to the Cinco de Mayo, and KBBF was there. A special shout-out to Alicia Sanchez and to Michelle Morales, two of our board members who covered, and they had some volunteers there. I think it was just a wonderful event, and there they were passing out information. It was a very, very exciting moment to see that. And there was a great turnout, and a shout-out to all the organizers. And I want to do a special shout-out to my dear friend, Carolyn Bonsuelos, who works so hard every year to get this going. And it was a beautiful event, lots of dancing, lots of singing, and lots of good food. So thank you very much. And also, Ken and I'd like to do a shout-out for the folks who organized the Native American Spring Celebration, which happened at the Santa Rosa JC on Sunday. It was amazing. And what's so amazing to me is our Native American culture, our indigenous people, how they're able to hold on to some of their cultural events, you know, the dancing and the costumes and the prayer. You know, everything is done with prayer, prayer and intention. And the intention is to bring peace, to bring people together. So a special shout out to those folks who did that. That was the Native American Spring Celebration. It happens every year, and I am so grateful that Ken and I were able to make it because it was a great, great event. What I liked about it is they open it with prayer and they close with prayer. And the most interesting thing that I found out is that the Santa Rosa JC is built on 96 acres originally where they were housed by the Promo Indian tribes. And what I found out from one of the organizers is they help take care of the trees and make sure that everything that happens around those oak trees, we have these gorgeous oak trees at the Santa Rosa JC, and I had no idea that there was so much care and so much consideration for those beautiful trees. So a special thank you to the folks who organized this. Boy, lots going on, huh? You know, I want to thank my fans, by the way. It's been really interesting meeting people coming up to me, letting me know that they're listening to the show. And I want to encourage people. It's very important. You know, KBBF is a community radio station, and everything here is all volunteers. There are no paid staff. Everybody is volunteering. And it's very important if you're out there listening that the very least you can do is to sponsor, is to be able to become a member for KBBF. And you can go on the website, kbbf.org, and look on the right-hand side, and you'll see, just hit, and you can find out all the information, how you can become a sustainer, and how you can make a donation. And the most important thing, I mean, of course, we would love one big fat check, but it just doesn't work that way. It's a combination of many, many people in the community that support this vibrant station. Remember, we are the first bilingual station in the United States. And in our community and surrounding communities, I'm talking to 18 communities, 18 counties as through this microphone. And I want to encourage all of you to please become a member. That's the very least you can do. Become a sustainer. You know, we're all, some people are giving $5 every month. Believe it or not, as a programmer, I make a donation every month. I'm a volunteer, and I still donate to this station because I believe in it. I believe in it so strongly that I'm willing to put my, not only my mouth on the line, but my money on the line also. So I encourage folks, please become a member. And of course, mention that you heard about it on Women's Spaces, and they're always happy to hear that some of my fans out there are becoming members. Well, that's a lot to chew on, a lot to think about. Well, Sunday is Mother's Day. I can't believe it. Now I have several titles. You know, number one, I'm a woman. Number two, I'm a mother. Number three, I'm a grandmother. Number four, I'm becoming a great-grandmother. I mean, that's a lot of grandmothers around you. I cannot believe that I'm going to become a great-grandmother, which it makes it more important to me to try to find a way to help resolve some of the issues that are happening in our communities. You know, too few Americans are aware that early advocates of Mother's Day in the United States originally, now listen to this, originally envisioned a day of peace and honor to support mothers who lost their sons and husbands to the carnage of the Civil War. So in reality, Mother's Day was really an anti-war statement. In 1870, nearly 40 years before it became an official U.S. holiday, which happened in 1940, social justice advocate Julia Ward Howe issued the inspired Mother's Day Proclamation, which called upon the mothers of all nationalities, And I'm going to add, I think, of all color, of all persuasions, of all religions, to band together to promote the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interest of peace. In other words, they wanted to explore peace. Why? They lost their sons and husbands. And what's very interesting about Julia Ward Howe, and it was part of the suffrage, one of the things that really pushed them was that they became volunteers during the Civil War after it was over, and they went into the hospitals, and they found baskets of men's, because only men fought. Now we have women, aren't we? We've really come a long way, baby. Now we have women on the battlefield. But at that time, when they saw the arms and the legs of these young people, these young boys, they said, something has to be done. And she wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, which called upon mothers, like I said, to band together in the name of peace. They envisioned that there would be a council of women from all over the world. Now, just think of this. We're talking about 1870 when women had zilch rights. And what they were saying is that we want the women of the world to gather and to work on world peace. Amazing. So here we are, some 148 years later, and we are still warring. In fact, we have more wars going on now than we ever have had. And they're not only do we have a lot of wars, they're lasting a long time. And not only are they lasting a long time, most of us are scratching our head and saying, what the heck's going on? We don't even know why we're there. So it's a very, very, very interesting time. So what I'm going to do is we're going to take a little break here. And I'm really excited because when we come back, I'm going to be interviewing Kim Tripp Smith, and we're going to be doing some live music. I mean, we've never done it, and I'm just so excited about that. But before that, we're going to take a little break, and I'm going to be playing Julia Ward Howe, who was born in 1819 and passed away in 1910, her Mother's Day Proclamation. It's performed by a woman by the name of Gazella Howe, and when we return, we will be talking with Kim Tripp Smith, who hosts the weekly Feisty Females radio show at Cows 107.3 and manages a troupe called Diva Galactical. And she will be performing some great, great songs I'm really looking for. One of them is Never Again. There's two songs she's going to sing. Hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed that we'll get both of them in. Never Again Anthem, and she'll explain how she wrote that. And Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Well, we know that one. Hands Up, Don't Shoot. So here we go with Julia Ward Howell's performance by Gazelle Howe, the women's. What is the title here? Mother's Day Proclamation. Sometimes my brain just goes off to the whatever. Anyway, and when we come back, like I said, we'll be talking with Kim Tripp Smith.
Mother's Day Proclamation by Julia Ward Howe. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears, say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us, reeking with carnage, for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the voice of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and the earliest period consistent with its objectives to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace.
Oh, my goodness. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. What a beautiful, beautiful statement. I love that. The great human family. I mean, well, think about it, the great human family. You know, we're all sisters and brothers. You know, it's amazing. We have to start really getting into that and thinking about it. Well, for you folks just joining in, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest. Joining me in the studio is singer, artist, and strong feminist, and definitely a feisty female, Kim Tripp Smith. Welcome, Kim. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
I'm so glad to be here.
You're so melodic. Kim and I have known each other forever. We actually performed in plays together, which has been very, very exciting. You know, before we start, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay, Kim?
Sure, sure.
Well, Kim Tripp Smith, and I look at her. Well, her hair's getting a little gray now. It used to be real red and beautiful, and now it's gray and beautiful.
I'm happy with those. I earned those gray hairs.
It looks beautiful. Well, she was born in Scotland. Kim writes stories, poetry, and folk ballads laced with political satire, unvanished truths and mystical clarity, family honesty, and sly humor. Kim hosts the weekly program Feisty Females Radio Show at COWS in Sebastopol.
92.5.
It's 92.
It is. We moved to 92.5 FM.
92.5 FM. Mm-hmm. And it used to come out of Occidental. Mm-hmm. Now it's coming out of Sebastopol.
Well, our studio's in Sebastopol, but our broadcasting unit is still on a tree somewhere out in Occidental.
And she's there. She's on every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
For 10 years now.
10 years. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And she manages a troupe called Diva Galactica and produces all kinds of events and is the CEO of Amazon Productions, and she's known as Mamazon. How did you ever come up with the name Mamazon?
Well, back in 1998, I bought a 63-foot AVR Army rescue boat, and I parked it offshore from Sausalito at anchor, and the name of the boat was the Amazon Queen. So I became the Amazon Queen, and I adopted that moniker and had a rock and roll band of that name for many, many years until I got pregnant. And my friend, my dear friend John Exworthy, called me and said, "Well, I guess you're not the Amazon Queen anymore. I think you're Mamazon."
Oh, and so it came after you had one, your first child.
And I kind of laughed and said, "Mama's always on. You're right."
You can't beat that one. Yeah. Well, also, you work with Ayurvedic medicine. What mm-hmm. is that about? Explain that a little bit.
Well, I've been a body worker for my whole life. I literally was trained in the Unitarian Church youth group when I was like 13. And I've always done body work. And then back in 2010, I hooked up with the Dhyana Center in Sebastopol and became accredited in both Ayurvedic medicine and also lymphatic drainage. And completely, I was an environmental analyst for a very long time. I did corporate work for many, many years. And I got very burnt out on that because it was, how many times do you have to say, look, cost-benefit analysis says to go green is really profitable, and they just don't care. And so it was very frustrating. And I finally thought, instead of trying to clean up the world, I will clean up each person's body. I will teach people how to clean up their own earth because our bodies relate to the earth. The planet has seasons. We have seasons. And so it's very important when you make that connection of, you really care about the earth? Well, then care about your own piece of it, your own body. Are you dehydrated? Are your rivers dry? If you got dams in the rivers of your body, then you're not flowing. And that means you're not flowing in your body, you're not flowing in your mind, and you're definitely not flowing in your emotions. So.
We certainly need that information in today's mm-hmm. world. I notice for myself, Ken and I start doing Tai Chi, and I notice the difference when you move your body, when you take care of your body. And also you have two beautiful children. I remember they were just babies when I first met you. How old are they now?
My daughter is 20. I know. She's studying environmental studies along with engineering and business up in Humboldt State. She's also playing in the Loud Neighbor marching band and singing in the jazz choir. So, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, doing all kinds of circus stuff at the Humboldt Circus. And my son is 17. He's still an Annaly High School student. Very into theater, hoping to go to the International School of Commedia dell'Arte. So he's totally taken on the theater universe. She's taken on the environment. I have done my job.
Well, you've done a good job because I remember those kids. They were always so, so delightful. It's so hard to believe as I sit across from you talking about your young kids that actually my grandchildren are now grown up to have their own kids. It's just
mind-blowing.
Well, let's start our discussion here, and I'm mm-hmm. really excited. We've got the studio all set up. This is the first time, folks, that we've ever done live music. Let me ask you a few questions. So, you were born in Scotland.
I was.
How you immigrated to America? How did that happen? And what influenced you as an artist? And what inspired you to be a performer?
Well, my father was a very liberal, progressive man. And he wanted more out of life than what Britain could offer him. And he came from a very working class upbringing, tenement living, council houses, and he just wanted out. So he got an opportunity to get a job in Canada. And when I was 7 years old, took a huge ocean liner. I was a boat person and everything, came over to North America. And what really blew my mind more than anything else was how big everything was. The people were big. The food portions were big. The cars were big. Everything was so big, Everything in Britain is very small. We're very thankful for what we have. We worked very hard for it, and that's all that matters, and the word is everything. And what I learned about in North America was that everybody wanted more. They just wanted more, and their word was nothing. And my sister and I were blown away by the flakiness of of America. And we slowly dribbled into the States, and then we finally ended up down in Florida. And my parents, somewhere along the line, joined the Unitarian Church. And that was, in the 70s, and it was very, very liberal in the 70s. And so I was raised in I met Pete Seeger when I was 12. I marched for the Equal Rights Amendment, took my own Greyhound bus down to Tallahassee so I could march for the ERA. I went to McGovern rallies. I was schooled in the civil rights movement. And, and when I saw that Indian on TV crying because the trash hit his foot, that was it for me. And I knew that I was going to be someone who fought for the environment.
Well, it's real interesting when you tell your story, how as women, how we got involved. I myself, it's so hard to believe that at one time I was pro-war and I didn't understand, half the stuff that was going on. And when I went to school, I went to Los Angeles City College and I was a journalism major and I interviewed they called themselves the Wheelchair Brigade, which was 50 paraplegic young men. Not one was over 21. That's what really stunned me. And when I walked out of there, because I was just a single parent with one child, and all of a sudden I walked out and I said, oh my God, I can't believe this. And I'll tell you one funny story. The Native American, they started having like classes as, African American studies, Native American studies, and I took a Native American class, and I'm sitting there listening to the teacher talk about some of the horrific things, especially they had smallpox blankets. And I remember saying, I thought the Indians were the bad guys. And my professor walks up to me and says, I was Pine at the time. And Miss Pine, where did you hear about that? This gorgeous Native American man is confronting me about this. And I says, in television. I was the first generation of television, and that's what we watched, cowboys and Indians, and the cowboys were the good guys, and the Indians were the bad guys. And so it's really interesting how we've changed. You've had an experience. You're coming from your native country, which is Scotland. Here you come into the United States, and you all of a sudden you see all these different things, and then as you grow older you started to become a performer. Where did you get your courage, your inner, how did that come for you?
Well, as part of the Unitarian Youth Group, we did a lot of singing, and my sister started really performing. She started playing guitar, and she was older than me, so I stole her guitar all the time. And you write what you know. And I was raised, as I said, really listening to Odetta and, incredibly great folk singers, Joan Baez, Bob Dylan. And I just was so very affected on a kinesthetic level by the power of music to be able to convey very complex thoughts. And I thought, I was living in the South, total racism, stupidity, you couldn't believe in the 70s. And we gonna integrate the South. That's when I showed up. And so I was the only one in my junior high and high school hanging out with, people, anybody. I was desperate. I was, from another country. I had a funny accent. And so I was one of the few people that hung out with African Americans. And so, the white people in the high schools hated me. And I kind of took power from that. I realized that when you could freak people out, you had a lot of power. And so that progressed into becoming a performer, acting, did a lot of acting, modeling, the whole nine yards.
It's interesting. That's another thing we share. When I was going to junior high school, I was only one of six Jewish people, and I learned, and I was in a Hispanic, a Mexican American culture, and it was amazing, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it because I was learning a whole new culture and a whole new way of being. Well, before we go any further, you do write songs and stories and poetry, mm-hmm. and your goal is, from my understanding, is that you want to involve people to get more involved and also to raise their consciousness a little bit. So how do you do your writings? And then I would like you to give us the first sample of one of your songs. So tell us how you do the writings and explain the song that you're going to sing, the first one. I think it's called Never Again.
Never Again Anthem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How you wrote it and how you come about. What is your creative process?
Well, I'm a believer that that when something bothers you, take for instance when in Beslan, when there was the horrible terrorist action and 350 kids got killed. Mm. There was this picture in the newspaper of the mothers, sitting over their, body bag after body bag. And it was their kids' first day of school. Well, it was my daughter's first day of school, just by, coincidence. And I couldn't stop staring at that picture. And everybody that came in, I would go, "Did you see this?" And they would go, "Oh, I can't look at that. It's too negative. Just turn the page." And I thought, no. An artist does not turn the page. An artist looks at the picture until we are so seeped in it that something comes out the other side. And what comes out is a song, a poem, a rant, you know, something that takes that indignation, that anger, that frustration, and turns it into something that can maybe wind through the back of somebody's brain who's never thought about it before. They turned the page, and all of a sudden they find themselves crying. I want to convey that emotional feeling. And so whenever I'm bothered by anything, I've got a song for homelessness, I got a song for fracking, I got a song, you know, you name it. I'm a Monsatan, you know, I'm down on Monsanto.
I'm a Mamazon.
And so I breathe into, you know, I try to breathe life into the hardest, most complex things and transform it into something beautiful or something powerful that will make people listen.
So what, this song, Never Again Anthem, what was that? What was behind that song?
13 days after the Parkland massacre, my high school, Annalee High School in Sebastopol, had a quote-unquote credible threat. So I'm sitting at home and I get a phone call from the office. It's a robocall saying, we've had a credible threat here at the high school. We're having to evacuate. Come and get your kid right now. So you can imagine 1,500 moms jumped into their cars and they're driving towards Annalee High School, freaking out, thinking, oh my God, is my kid alive or dead? Mm-hmm. And I was on Green Valley Road, and I never have service there, but by the grace of God, I get a phone call from my son saying, hey, I'm fine. As soon as they allowed us to evacuate, I took off with my friends and I'm fine. And so I kind of hung up the phone and I breathed a first breath. And this song channeled itself out of me in about 5 minutes. And I'm a great believer into singing into my phone so you don't lose. You know, you get inspired singing into your phone. And so I wrote the song in about 5 minutes, came home. Within a day, I had finished it. Within 2 days, I'd called my friend down in Fairfax at Little Buddha Studios and said, I got to come record this song right now. So because I just felt this feeling of, this is what, you know, we gotta change this. We can't have our, you know, how dare they want to arm teachers when what has to be done is a complete reorganization of education and not the way Betsy DeVos wants to do it.
Well, you know, something, what I love about you, Kim, is you have such passion.
I do.
And I think that comes from being a mother. I really do, especially if every mother had compassion for every mother's child, I don't think we would be in this mess. So here we're going to hear her song, Never Again Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go with our great experiment at KBBF 89.1 FM.
Wake up every morning in America and take my kids to school, hoping they might learn something, embrace the golden rule. But in the disunited states of America, where guns are everywhere, our kids are shot to death each day, but the NRA don't care. Well, no longer, whoa, no longer. No longer shall we wait. No longer, no, no longer. No longer shall we accept this fate. Same old politicians on Capitol Hill, taking bribes and making laws, protecting profits over people, have become their favorite cause. But the brave survivors of the war on kids, from Parkland to Newtown, won't let their friends and teachers die in vain this time around. Well, no longer, whoa, no longer. No longer, no longer shall we wait. No longer, no, no longer. No longer shall we accept this fate. Well, our country's woke, and brightest kids are speaking out today. And they'll be speaking out tomorrow, fighting for a brand new day.
A day when those who make the laws have been voted in to change them. We the people shall be listened to. We're gonna make life safe again. Wake up every morning in America, knowing our kids are okay. That's the real American dream that makes our America great. Well, never again, never again, never again, never again. Never again, never again, never again. This killing must end, this killing must end. Never, never again.
Oh my God, oh my God, let's give you a big round of applause. The American dream, wake up and know your kid is safe. Love that. Oh my God.
That really is the American dream. Just knowing your kids are okay. That is what makes America great, period. For thousands of years, you didn't know if your kid was going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or, you know, killed by the weirdo next door, whatever. Suddenly, we're in a situation where we don't know that again. I send my kid off to school every day, and my daughter's living up at college, and I have to worry that rednecks or white supremacists or whatever, you know, is going to come and not like my kids and take them out? How can that be okay in America?
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, as you've read that poem I wrote, I am women, I am all women.
Oh, yeah.
That's what has to happen. The women have to gather. And just like listen to that proclamation. I mean, the Mother's Day you know, instead of going out and buying a Hallmark card, maybe what you need to do is to, you know, work for peace somehow. Well, let's continue. Mm-hmm. That song is just wonderful.
Thank you.
Wow. You know, I know you're very concerned about the world today. You know, folks, I got to tell you something. We are live here in the studio, and I am so jazzed from that song. My mind is going all over the place. Thank you so much for singing, because the words are so powerful, and we need to hear that. We need to sing about that. We need to stand up. You know, that's why we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. Mm-hmm. You know, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And if you believe in a higher power, you have to believe that all children deserve to be safe. So it's very interesting. Well, I know you're concerned about the world. Oh, let me identify us first. You know, folks, you are listening to Women's Spaces. I am Elaine B. Holtz. And with me in the studio, I have a special guest, Kim Tripp-Smith. And she just sang an original song that she wrote after the Parkland massacre, after she herself was very concerned about her own child after they got a warning from Anley High School that there may be an issue. It's called Never Again. And what's going to happen is to remember that if you go on www.womenspaces, we'll have the song there, and we'll have the program there, and we'll also have a connection to how you can get a hold of Kim. Well, let's go to the next part here, Kim. I know you're concerned about the world today, and what are some of the things that you believe can be done? You know, when we were talking on the phone, I forgot the word, but you gave me a word that you believed in.
It's as someone who people come to when they're in trauma, to help them relieve trauma through body work. What I've realized is what holds us back, not just as women, but as human beings in general, is our shame. We are shamed for not being enough. And anytime something happens, well, oh, I'm just not good enough. And we kind of go to this place of, you know, my big dream I didn't meet that big dream, and I'm just not good enough. Or my relationship fell apart, I'm not good enough. I never got successful.
All right, don't vote my vote doesn't count.
And so the medicine for shame is honor. And you have to honor yourself. You have to recognize, what is honor? How do I honor myself? And every time I get hit with that, I'm not good enough feeling, I go to honor. I find honor. And the next thing along the line of the trifecta of fear is betrayal. You know, somebody shames us and then they betray us. And we just sit in that betrayal and it binds us. It polarizes us. We don't know how to move. We're unsure of ourselves then. Well, who else can I trust? It's going to let me down. No one's got my back. And the medicine for betrayal is loyalty. And so you really go to that place of, you know, who am I loyal to? And what is loyal to me? And what is loyalty? And really go there to the innermost feeling of it so that you can heal that betrayal. And then the final one is abandonment. You know, you get shamed, you get betrayed, then you get abandoned. And the medicine for abandonment is commitment. And so what are we truly committed to in our lives? And I feel that if people had more support when they go to that place of the trifecta of fear, rather than turning to the bottle, to the joint, to the opiate, to the TV, to the exercise program, to the addiction, turn inwards and find that place. Seek out honor, seek out loyalty, and seek out commitment within yourself. And if you can find that and heal that, and then, you know, look outside of yourself, get some body work, heal your own body so that your purpose, your true inner purpose, you can actually hear your intuition again. And that's what's going to be able to, I think, drive people to a place where they actually start doing something about the terrible threat to our planet environmentally. And maybe we have a chance, maybe.
Well, you know, you bring an important point up. You know, there's a saying that many of us hear, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's a very spiritual saying. It's supposed to be something that Christ said that most Christians believe in. And what you're saying to me is the fact that if you don't love yourself, if you don't honor yourself, if you don't commit to yourself, if you don't commit to what you believe in, and even when you're abandoned, as long as you have that love of self. And it goes, to me, it goes one step further. And that means when you love yourself, I can understand you more. I have more, when I have compassion for myself, I can have more compassion for somebody else.
But that compassion is a daily regimen of self-care. You have to care for yourself. That's how, I mean, if you're in a relationship and you can't, every single day, you care for that other person and it builds up. Oh, and that's where the love comes from. So it's not enough to just be like, oh, I love myself. No, you have to care for yourself, which means you got to eat right. You got to drink enough water. You got to walk. You got to swim. You got to literally take care of your spacesuit here that we're all wearing.
Well, it's interesting too, when you come, especially political activists, especially being active in the world. It's very, very important. Well, listen, how come your music and your poetry always seems to have a political nature? And I know you're going to sing a second song for us. Can you talk a little bit about the second song and how that relates with your politics and what you believe in as a woman?
Well, I think many of us on the progressive end of life are absolutely unbelievably opposed to the police structure within our society. It's all about punishment. It's about making a profit on the misery of people in jail. And I find that reprehensible on every level. And beyond that, the system, which is, you know, a for-profit warehousing of people, you have on the other side, you know, many of our police departments grew out of slave patrols. That's what it grew out of. There was a huge movement within the 70s to start within the KKK and many white supremacy to set up, to continue that within the police structure. So right here in Santa Rosa, a few years ago, a 13-year-old child, Andy Lopez, was killed
still,
by a cop.
And we're still suffering from
that. We're still suffering. And he was 13 when he was killed. Well, my son was 13 at the time. He played trumpet. My son played trumpet. And I just had this amazing feeling of, Sandy Lopez is my child. He's everybody's child. And
absolutely,
we should all be outraged. And when I would go to the protest, people would be there, including you.
I want to inject something mm-hmm. here. One of the prices that I paid very heavily was when I came out and said Andy Lopez was my child. The reason I said that was, of course, I didn't bear him.
No.
But the fact that what happens to one mother's
yes.
child can happen to another mother's child. And I could not believe the resistance. And one of the things that I asked our political leaders over and over again is, I asked them, what would you expect from your community if this were your child? And people have a hard time wrapping themselves themselves around that. And the idea is, it's not your physical child, but because you have a child and you claim yourself to be a mother, you're to protect that child. Yes. You're to make sure it has a good, decent life. And if another mother's child is harmed, well, just like you said, here you are getting that phone call from Annalee High School. You're scared to death. What's going to happen to my child? Well, explain, you know, the segment goes very quick. So explain the song.
So basically, I wrote this song as another anthem, you know, for Andy. And because I was I was really dismayed by my own community that when I showed up for the rallies, it was primarily Latino people and maybe the same 10 white people every time. And I was like, where are the mothers of all the other kids from my school?
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Why aren't they there? Why don't they care?
It's interesting you say that because, you know, I became president of the National Organization of Women because I could not, when they had the shooting, I wanted to do a thing called Mothers in White, where we just stand there and say, stop killing our children. I couldn't find enough mothers. And it was interesting to me. And so I felt if I joined an organization, which is a national organization, we could build it up more. And so I feel that's slowly but surely happening. But women must gather in the name of
all
children.
So all life. All wildlife. Our trees. Everything. It's all being taken down for profit. So we have to make, you know, clear choices. How do we organize to combat the biggest threat ever, which is, you know, human extinction on the horizon? Hello.
So, and let's go. And, you know, I'll tell you, I want to say one thing to my listening audience about young Auntie Lopez. As far as I'm concerned, it was a horrible, horrible experience that happened. And no mother, I mean, for me, I always think about that phone call. You know, all of a sudden, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
But he was murdered straight out.
But at the same time, it wasn't in vain because so much is coming forward. It's brought us to the attention of exactly what's going on, not only in the world, but in our own community.
And they're making a documentary called Andy, which is going to be incredible. I did a little bit of work on it, and I'll set you up with the guy who's doing it, and that's going to be incredible.
Okay, so here, what's the name of this song here?
It's called Hands Up, Don't Shoot.
Go ahead. Stand up, don't shoot.
Hands up. Hands up, don't shoot. Oh, yeah. So here we go. This song is for Andy Lopez. This song's for Michael Brown. This song is for Jeremiah Chess. This song's for Trayvon. We are lost amid their ghosts. They break our hearts and haunt our minds. Systematic racism kills our kids by design. Call upon the winds of change to end it by decree. Who will step up to the plate to end this misery? Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. This song is for Andy Lopez. This song's for Michael Brown. This song is for Jeremiah Chess. This song's for Trayvon. There are tales of wrongful deaths from every corner of our land. Each week a thousand SWAT teams paralyze Americans. War on drugs trumps all our rights. Privacy be damned. We cannot wait a moment longer. Join together, we are stronger. People everywhere, stand together, show we care. Pledge allegiance to my heart. Stop my violence for it starts.
ways, abuse excessive force, shoot to kill, show no remorse. Cover-ups and DA bias, set the killers loose to fry us. Police militarization, terrorizing our whole nation. Power from the end of a gun. Now kids dying one by one. Hands up, don't shoot, no saliva. Hands up, don't shoot, don't despise. Hands up, don't shoot, no saliva. No despise. Hands up, don't shoot, don't despise. Hands up, don't shoot, no saliva. We beseech you to stop. We need you to stop. No child should die. No parents have to question why. No families have to question why. La 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 la. Families have to question why. Hands up, don't shoot, mano saliva. Hands up, don't shoot all the spaces. This song is for Andy Lopez. This song's for Michael Brown. This song is for Jeremiah Chass. This song's for Trayvon. I can't breathe.
Everybody in, and you know, we're coming to the end of the segment, Kim, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing those songs and allowing us the experience of being able to do it. Give us our website and what you're up to.
www.feistyfemales.net. You can also catch me on ReverbNation.com/KimTripSmith. And Jeremiah Chass, just so you know, he was a high school student from Annalee High School that got killed by the cops. I always include him, and just do what you can. Don't stop yourself. Whatever curiosity you have, make it your passion. Get out there and change the world. Start from within and go from without.
Well, bless you, Tim Smith. I can't even talk. I'm so excited about these songs. Well, special thank you to Kim Tripp Smith, host of the weekly Feisty Female Radio Show on Cowles, and who manages a group called Diva Galactica and produces events and is also the CEO of Amazon Productions. And I know her as Amazon.
Mamazon. And you can also find me in loveyourbodymassage.net.
Okay. We have a unique, you know, it's just for, this has just been a great show. And I want to remind folks, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. We have to make sure we vote, mail in our absentee ballots. And this is Elaine Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. And I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life, and a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.